Up to 1 Samuel. I'll take it. Yeah, thank you. 1 Samuel chapter 1, you can be finding that. And while you're finding that, I want to share this with you. How many of you know who Goldie Hawn is? I think most everybody knows the actress Goldie Hawn. I came across something this week that I want to open up the message with. I read this on the news. Goldie Hawn has revealed she turned to God when her son Oliver nearly died after birth. She's 71 years old now. The 71-year-old screen legend said that she prayed for his healing when Oliver, now a very healthy 40-year-old with three children of his own, Amen. Was taken to the ICU. Immediately after Oliver's birth, Hawn suffered from toxemia. She recounted the memory of being wheeled upstairs in the hospital to see her struggling newborn son in intensive care. Oh my God, he was beautiful. I stood up and I put my hand on him and I asked God. I said, come through me, use me to heal my son. She says that after that, she miraculously watched as his heart rate began to rise and he began his journey towards recovery. Goldie continued, I don't think there's any question that prayer can work. I don't know if you can follow Goldie Hawn's doctrine. I don't know if she's even a Christian. But I do know, and I am convinced, that in that moment when that mother prayed for her son, that God healed her son. Amen. And God raised up her son. I thought about as I read that, I thought about my sister-in-law who when their first child, first daughter, Michelle, was in the hospital giving birth. Michelle almost died. They almost lost her. Yep. And I know it was a mother's prayers and a father's as well. But I know a mother's prayers prevail there for her daughter and for her granddaughter both. And so I want to talk to you this morning about the power of a praying mother. And, you know, this can apply across the board. We could also title this the power of a praying grandmother. We could also call this the power of a praying father. The principles really apply across the board. So don't turn me off just because you're not a mother with small children. It applies across the board here. But look at 1 Samuel, as I said, 1 Samuel chapter 1. And I need to find it because while you were turning there, I was reading to you about Goldie Hawn. But 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim, aren't you glad you aren't from there, of the mountains of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuth. Aren't you glad that your great-granddaddy's not wasn't named Tohu, okay? Or Tojam or something like that. An Ephraimite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And skip down to verse 6. It says, and her rival, that was they're talking about Hannah. Hannah's rival was her husband's other wife. Also provoked her severely to make her miserable, because the Lord had closed her womb. So it was, verse 7, so it was year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord that she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Basically, this other woman taunted Hannah and said, you don't have any children and I do. You don't have any children and I do. And I mean, it tormented Hannah. And so she decided to pray about that. Verse 8, then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? This guy was really stuck on himself, wasn't he? Any of you husbands ever tried using that line on your wife? Honey, I'm better to you than 10 children, right? That's not going to fly, is it?
No.
Well, it didn't fly that day either. So Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head." And it happened as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. In verse 15 it says, "But Hannah answered and said, 'No, my Lord, I'm a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now.'" Verse 17, "Then Eli answered and said, 'Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition, which you have asked of him.' And she said, 'Let your maidservant find favor in your sight.' So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad." And as we read through the story, we find that less than a year from that time, she gave birth to a son, just like she had prayed for. Praise God. But I want to go through this, what we just read here, and point some things out to us this morning. And the first thing I want to point out, the first point is this: when she was in bitterness of soul and in anguish, she prayed. When she, the Bible says in verse 10 that she was in bitterness of soul and she was in anguish, she prayed to the Lord. She prayed to the Lord. What do you do? What do you do when you're in anguish and in despair? And later she described herself as a woman of sorrowful spirit. What do you do? What do you and I do when we're faced with those challenges? You know, as I read earlier, you know, motherhood is filled with challenges and difficulties, but they move out. Well, before they've moved out, what do you do when you're in anguish, when you're in bitterness of soul? What do you do? And that it would apply to any of us, to men. What do we do? Do we just cave into it and throw a pity party, or sink into depression, or look for an escape that could be very destructive, addictive and destructive? There's all kinds of addictive and destructive escapes that we take or that we can take. What do you do? Well, we should follow this example. And when we're in bitterness of soul, thank God we can go to God in prayer. Amen. And get some relief and get some answers. Amen? Amen? In James chapter 5, verse 13, it says, "Are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray." Are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. I like what Dad Hagin pointed out about this. You know, he said, if you're suffering hardship, if you're going through trouble, you pray. What do we do? A lot of times we complain about it, or we gripe about it, or we try to find an escape, or, you know, something at least a little bit closer to the right thing to do, we get somebody else to pray for us, and that's all right. It's good to get others to pray for us, but notice what James says: if you're suffering, you pray. Amen. Like Dad Hagin pointed out, the rest of that verse says, "Are any of you happy? You should sing praises." You know, you don't. If you're happy, you don't call somebody up and say, "Hey, I'm happy. Will you sing for me?" No, you sing. If you're happy, you sing. Well, if you're the point is, if you're suffering hardship or trouble, you pray. You go before God. God will hear your voice. God will hear your prayer. Amen. The Message Bible says, "Are you hurting? Pray. Are you hurting? Pray." Get that next one up there so they'll see it, Amy. There you go. "Are you hurting? Then pray." That's why I found the Lord's Prayer in the 23rd Psalm to be such a strength. And that's why I recommend that you learn to do that too. Learn to pray the Lord's Prayer. If you can't think of anything else to pray, pray the Lord's Prayer. Pray the 23rd Psalm. I'm so grateful that I got a hold of Dr. Mark Rutland's teaching about how when he was in a place of despair and depression, he learned, the Holy Spirit reminded him of the Lord's Prayer, and he began to pray that. He said, "I clutched it like a drowning man, and I began to pray the Lord's Prayer, and I began to add in the 23rd Psalm." And he said, "That was like a handhold for me. It brought me, I was able to get out of that pit of depression by praying these great prayers." And so if you don't know, if you can't think of anything else to pray, pray the Lord's Prayer. Pray the 23rd Psalm. Amen? Amen. Praise God. So if you're hurting, pray. Amen? So the Bible says that she, that in verse 15, if we look down again at verse 15 of James 5, it says that she poured out, of not James 5, of 1 Samuel 1. Verse 15 says, "But it says, I'm a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have poured out my soul before the Lord. I've poured out my soul before the Lord." We need to learn to do that. And again, I'm talking to everybody here, and we're calling it the power of a praying mother, and certainly it is for mothers, but it applies to all of us. Learn to pray, to pour out your soul to the Lord.
Amen.
Amen? Why is that important? Well, you know, I was brought up, after I got filled with the Spirit, I learned, and I've shared this before, I was around people that taught me to pray the Word of God. And I'm so grateful for that. I'm so thankful. I learned to, you know, if you're in a situation, find a scripture, find scriptures that cover that situation and begin to pray the Word back to the Lord. That's so powerful. That's such a powerful way to pray. And it's right and it's accurate to pray that way. But there's another side of this, and we see it in the Psalms. We see David praying this way, that he poured out his soul to the Lord. He said, "Lord, this is what I'm going through." And it's all right to pray that way as long as you don't, as long as you add the Word to it. Sometimes you need to, you know, people call it venting, I think it is, all right? You need to vent to the Lord, but then add praying the Word along with it. If you just make a complaint, that's not going to do a lot of good. But if you say, "Lord, this," it's all right to be honest with God and tell him, you know, what's going on the inside and how you're feeling, but don't limit it. There's great power when you do that, and then you add to that praying the Word. Praying the answer and letting Him guide you. Amen?
Amen.
I know Dad Hagin talked about one of the greatest revelations that the Lord ever gave him was when he was praying this way. It was about his finances. He had gone out, he had been pastoring for several years, and the church he was pastoring, they took care of his family financially, but now he's out traveling ministry and he doesn't have that income from the church anymore, and he's having to depend on offerings in the churches. And he said, "I had all my figures, and I laid them out before the Lord one day." He said, "I made $1,200, and this was back in the 1940s. $1,200 was a lot of money back then. I made $1,200 less over the past year that I'd been out in the field traveling instead of the church I was pastoring. Besides that, the church provided me with a parsonage, a house to live in. Besides that, they sent me to conventions. They paid my way to conventions, and they were always buying me and my wife clothes, you know." And so he said, "I laid all that out before the Lord." So what's he doing? He's pouring out his soul before God. And as he was doing that, God gave him one of the greatest revelations that he ever had. It's found in the little book, "How God Taught Me About Prosperity." And the Lord began to guide him and lead him as he poured out his soul. So let's learn to do that. It's all right to pour out your soul before the Lord. In fact, I want to show you a little clip here. This is one way to do it, and I don't have a mom doing this. This is an old scraggly old man named Robert Duvall, but he's one of my favorite actors. This is one of my favorite movies. So we'll show you this real quick.
And I'm going to yell at you because I'm mad at you. I can't take it. Give me a sign or something. Blow this pain out of me. Give it to me tonight, Lord God Jehovah. If you won't give me back my wife, give me peace. Give it to me, give it to me, give it to me. Give me peace. Give me peace. I don't know who's been fooling with me. You are the devil. I don't know. And I won't even bring the human into this. He's just a mutt, so I'm not even going to bring him into it. But I'm confused. I'm mad. I love you, Lord. I love you. But I'm mad at you. I am mad at you. So deliver me tonight, Lord. What should I do? Now tell me. Should I lay hands on myself? What should I do? I know I'm a sinner and a once in a while womanizer, but I'm your servant. Since I was a little boy, you brought me back from the dead. I'm your servant. What should I do? Tell me. I've always called you Jesus. You always call me Sonny. What should I do, Jesus? This is Sonny talking now.
All right.
You let me down. Now heal this broken heart.
Hello?
Miss Julie, it sounds like you got a
whatever. I'm just, who is that over there? Is that your son or who is that?
Oh, well, that is my son. That he's, I tell you, ever since he was a little bitty boy, sometimes talks to the Lord and sometimes he yells at the Lord. And tonight he just happens to be yelling at him.
Well, could you tell him to talk a little softer or whatever? Because people got to get their sleep.
All right, that's good. All right. So sometimes he talks to the Lord and sometimes he yells at the Lord. So it might do you some good to yell at the Lord. Amen. You can do it with respect. He's big enough to take it. Amen. And instead of holding that stuff in, just get it out to him. Amen. That's what Hannah was doing. We'll get back on our subject. You forgot what we were talking about, didn't you? She poured out her soul before the Lord.
Amen.
She poured out her soul before the Lord. So do that when you're in. Don't just run away. Don't just escape, or don't just give way to depression, despair. Pour out your soul to the Lord. Get a hold of Him. Amen. He will answer you. Praise God. The second thing she did, the Bible says in verse 12, in 1 Samuel 1, verse 12. If you put verse 12 up there, Amy, it says in verse. Let's get back to verse 12. It says, and it happened as she continued praying. Everybody say continued praying.
Continued.
As she continued praying before the Lord. She kept praying until she knew she had prayed through. Amen? Get this now. Amen? Now, we know that, again, another side of this is the prayer of faith where you pray at one time, you believe, you receive, and that's it. There's other things that we pray about that we need to continue praying. That we need to continue praying until we know we've prayed through. Sometimes we just offer up like a halfway prayer because, you know, well, we know, I know I'm supposed to pray, and I just kind of feebly offer some. No, stay with it.
Amen.
Stay with it in prayer. I'm talking about the power of a praying mother.
Yes.
Now, when we look at it in that context, a mother praying for her child, they're not gonna take no for an answer.
No.
Right. Amen. And we all ought to have that same tenacity in prayer. We ought to all have that same, you know, like Goldie Hawn was that day. Lord, you know, use me, you know, flow through me. You know, she was desperate for her baby, you know, to recover and to begin to live.
Amen.
Amen. We ought to have that same desperation, that fervency when we come before God in prayer.
Amen.
And we need to stay with it. She continued praying before the Lord. It's not a feeling. Praying through is not a feeling. It's faith, but it's also a knowing on the inside that it's done. Pray until you know on the inside it's done. That's it. Amen? Just stay with it till you get there. Some things, it may take you a while to get there, but stay with it. Continue praying and stay with it until you know, all right, it's settled. It's done. Amen? Praise God. All right? The Bible says in Romans 12:12, continuing steadfastly in prayer. I know I've got my scriptures out of order in your list there, Amy, so you'll have to just work with me here. But continuing steadfastly in prayer. Amen. The third thing she did is she asked God for a child through prayer. Back in 1 Samuel 1:11, it says that she made a vow, and he says, if you'll look on the affliction made servant, remember me. And give your maidservant a male child. All right? She was specific. She was specific. And that's the thing we need to be. We need to be specific in our praying. I think sometimes when some Christians pray that God is up there in heaven and he's going, wait a minute, what did they just ask? And he calls some of the angels over and says, Can you help me here? I can't quite figure out what they're asking. Do you understand this? What do they want? Some of our praying is that vague. Amen. That was a joke. You could have laughed on that, but too late now. You missed it. All right. Go back and listen to the CD later, and then you can laugh when you hear it. You can laugh on cue then. So, all right. But I think sometimes our praying is like that. It's so vague. Again, Dad Hagin talked about, you know, people would come and pray around the altar after a service, and he said, I started running a poll one day. He said, I'd tap him on the shoulder. I said, what are you praying for? Huh? You know, they say, what? Huh? What are you praying for? He said, a lot of times they'd say, oh, nothing in particular. And he thought to himself, well, that's what you're going to receive. Nothing in particular. Be specific. Now, he said, there's a time where when we're praying, where we're just fellowshipping with God, just worshiping Him. That's one thing. But if you have a need, if you have a situation in your life, be specific. Amen. Tell God what you want. Find scriptures that cover it and make that request to Him. Make that petition to Him. Be specific about it. Amen?
Amen.
She was specific. She said, God, I want you to give me a male child. Not just a child, a boy. She was specific about that. And guess what? That's what she got. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 talks about us doing this. It says, be anxious. Be anxious for how many things?
Nothing.
How many of you can say, don't raise, I'm not going to show of hands because I don't think we'd have any this morning. But how many of you could honestly say that you've not been anxious about anything in the last week? I don't see any. I told you not to raise your hands, but I don't think any of us could raise our hands on that, could we? That we've not been anxious in the last week. Well, here the scripture says, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Amen? He is a God who hears and answers prayer, and too often we don't take advantage of that. Amen? Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Amen? Boy, I don't know about you, but I'm sure that mothers have a lot to be anxious about if they yield to that. Isn't that right? There's a lot that a mother, no matter how old your children are, you have a lot to be anxious about. But you have an answer, a reason, and a way that you don't have to be anxious. Amen? Be anxious for nothing. In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. How do you keep from being anxious? You do what the next thing that Hannah did, the fourth thing that she did in her prayer is she gave her child to God through her prayers. There in verse 11, she's in the same verse where it says, Lord, give me a male child. And then at the last part of the verse, she says, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. I'll give him to the Lord all the days of his life. So through prayer, she gave her son, her child, back to the Lord, even before he was born. Even before she had conceived, she said, Lord, I'm giving him to you. You give me a male child, I'm going to give him back to you, God. Amen? That's how you stay in peace. Amen. That's how you keep from being anxious. Give your children to God in prayer. Grandmothers, give your grandchildren to God in prayer. Mothers, give your children to God in prayer. Amen? It doesn't matter how old they are. You know, you've got a child that's 40 or 50 years old, you can still give them to God in prayer. Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. And then the fifth thing that she did, she added faith to her prayers. She added, and this is so important, verse 17 of 1 Samuel 1, look at what it says again. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked of him. And she said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. What does that mean? That means that she accepted it as done. Before she saw, get this now, don't miss this. Before she saw any physical evidence, before she saw anything, any change, I mean, this is the same day she's praying. Before she saw any improvement, or any answer, or any change in her condition, she took it and she said, all right, that's it. It says her face was no longer sad. What did she base that on? Well, the priest said, go your way in peace, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition. Now Eli was not the best priest that Israel ever had, for sure. But she took that word spoken by that man of God in that place of authority, and she said, that's it. All right? That's where I release my faith.
Amen.
I'm releasing my faith right there. It's done. And she went, the Bible says that she went and she ate, right? I think it does. Yes, she went and ate. She wasn't eating before. You know, her husband says, come on, baby, eat. Aren't I better to you than 10 sons? And, you know, can you imagine the look that she gave him when he said that? Like, shut up. You know. And she wouldn't eat. But now she's eating, all right, you know. So she went and she ate. And she's, the Bible says her face was no longer sad. That's a sure sign that she's in faith. She's in faith. She's not troubled anymore. She's not sad anymore because her rival is having kids and she can't have any. Glory to God, a baby is on the way. Hallelujah. The answer, I have my answer. It's done. It's mine. It's finished. What is that? That's faith. She added faith to her prayers. Amen. It's so important that we add faith to our prayers. If we don't add faith to our prayers, we're just wasting air to speak. Amen. We're just wasting our time. The Bible said, Jesus said, in fact, in Matthew chapter 21, verse 22, and whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you'll receive. Whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Amen. So if you ask things in prayer not believing, will you receive? No. Not according to Jesus. Whatever. Why did he add that believing? Because it's essential to receiving. Whatever things you ask in prayer believing, you will receive. Amen? So let's add faith to our prayers. Amen? All right. Verse 20 of 1 Samuel 1, it says, so it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked for him from the Lord. The name Samuel literally means heard by God. Heard by God. Every time she called his name. Every time after he was born and she called his name. It was a reminder. I was heard by God. God heard my prayer. God heard my prayer and answered my prayer. That name Samuel meant heard by God. Hallelujah. I prayed and God heard me. That's what she said. Every time she called his name, she was reminded. And she said, I prayed and God heard me. Amen? And we see that she fulfilled her commitment to God. In verse number 26, it says, and she said, oh, my Lord, as your soul, my soul lives. So she goes back to Eli the priest and she presents him at the house of the Lord before the priest after she's weaned him and he's old enough to go, and they're just still a little fellow though, and so she brings him before the priest, and she said, "Oh my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I'm the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore, I also have lent him to the Lord." Don't you know it would have been easy for her to say, "Well, Lord, I know that I promised you that I would give him to you, but oh Lord, he's too little to be, you know, to go and serve here and to be away from his mother." Wouldn't it be real easy for her to take back that part of it now that she had her baby, wouldn't it? Yeah. But she didn't do that. She fulfilled her commitment to God. Amen. Therefore, I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. So they worship the Lord there. Now, the circumstances obviously may be different in your life and your situation and what you're praying for your children. But as you see God answering your prayers, then fulfill your commitment to Him. Amen. Amen. Continue to set the example. Train your children. Raise them up to know and walk with God. Amen. Amen. Now, as we contrast Samuel, again, I said to you, Samuel went and he served the Lord under Eli the priest. And again, Eli certainly was not the best priest that Israel ever had. And in fact, the Bible tells us that his sons were corrupt and they did not know the Lord. And I think it's interesting here that we don't have any mention of their mother. Their mother's not mentioned. Samuel, on the other hand, had a praying mother, and he turned out to be a great prophet of God and a great servant of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Let's move on and let's look at another example this morning in the New Testament, and we'll finish up with this here. But this is the prayer of the woman of Canaan, the prayer of the woman of Canaan. And you'll find the story in Matthew chapter 15, and we'll start in verse 21. In Matthew 15 and verse 21, and I need to find it here in my Bible. In Matthew 15, 21, it says, then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. And so here's a mother coming and petitioning the Lord on behalf of her daughter who is demon-possessed. I mean, this is a severe situation, and she comes before Jesus, and she's petitioning Jesus on behalf of her daughter. And she says, Have mercy on me. And at first it says, Jesus answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, Send her away, for she cries out after us. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, Jesus is not, this is a whole other message here that we don't have time to get into, but Jesus is not denying her request. I think he said this to illustrate to all of us the tenacity of a praying mother. Jesus basically said, you don't have any right for me to answer your prayer. I was only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You're outside of those boundaries. You're a Canaanite woman. You're not a Jew, and so I don't really have any responsibility to help you, and you don't really have any right to ask me to help you. That's basically what he said. Now, we know the heart of Jesus. We know that statement is not consistent with the way he ministered throughout the New Testament. So we know Jesus was up to something here. We know, and I think one thing that he was up to was he put this in here to help us understand and realize and see as we see this unfold the tenacity of a praying mother. Amen? Because this woman didn't take that for an answer. It says, this disciple said, Send her away. You know, she's crying out after us. And Jesus made that statement, I was only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Verse 25, then she came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. Help me. But he answered and said, It's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. She said, Yes, Lord. Yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. In other words, she found a place where she could claim it. And the place she could claim it was, okay, if you're calling me a dog, then even the dogs get the crumbs. The dogs have a right to something, and a crumb is all I need. A crumb will be sufficient. A crumb from you, a crumb from God will be enough to deliver my daughter. Amen? And then verse 28, then Jesus answered. I want you to notice, we'll read verse 28 in a second here, but I want you to notice what Jesus didn't say. And this maybe will help somebody this morning. Jesus didn't say this. If you'd have raised her better, this wouldn't have happened, lady. I hope that helps some of us this morning. How did the girl get demon possessed? We don't know. But Jesus didn't say, well, if you'd just raised her better, if she'd hadn't been running with that crowd that was playing with the Ouija board, she wouldn't have got demon possessed. Well, even if that was the case, Jesus didn't hold that against her. Amen? Amen. Aren't you glad he doesn't hold our mistakes and our failures against us? Amen. When we go to... The Bible says in the book of James, if anyone lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally without finding fault. Amen. Amen? He's not going to come to you and say, well, you know, I really don't deserve to do this because you messed up here and there. No, when you come to him in faith, he answers you. When you come to him and you say, have mercy on me, the Bible says he delights in mercy, that he's rich in mercy. Amen. Thank God. Amen. Amen? Yes. Hallelujah. All right, and so she said, Lord, help me. I know that you're my answer. And look at what Jesus said in verse 28. Go back to verse 28 there, Amy. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Amen. Talk about the power of a praying mother. Her daughter was set free and delivered and healed from that demonic torment that very hour because she would not take no for an answer. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. She was tenacious. She stayed with it. And she wouldn't take no for an answer. And her daughter was healed. I want to point something out, what Jesus said to her. He said, Woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. Let it be to you as you desire. Mothers, grandmothers, I want to ask you a question in here this morning. What do you desire for your children, for your grandchildren? Amen. What do you desire for them? Your prayers can help shape your children's future.
That's right.
Jesus said, let it be to you as you desire. What do you desire? Now, I know we have to be careful. We shouldn't push our own desires off on our children. We should let them grow up and begin to make their own decisions and live their own life. And we can't live our lives through our kids. They have their own life to live. But we can shape our children's future according to the parameters of God's will for them. We do want God's will. We can't impose our own will, but we certainly do want God's will for them, right? Isn't that right? Amen. I think everybody could raise their hand. Do you want God's will for your children? Do you want the will of God to be done for your children? Amen. Mothers and fathers and anybody, right? Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. And you know, the Proverbs 31 woman, it talks about her, and it says that she watches over the ways of her household. She watches over the ways of her household. The Bible talks about watchmen, God setting watchmen on the wall. Those watchmen are prayers, if you read those scriptures. And so how can a mother watch over the ways of her household? Well, when your children are little, you can do that pretty well. But when they get up and they're on their own, or they're at school, or they're gone and they're out of the house, the only way you can truly watch over them is in prayer. That's really the only way you can do that. But you can do it that way. You can do it in prayer. You can do it effectively in prayer. The Bible also talks about that Proverbs 31 woman. It says her household is clothed in scarlet. This is a picture of us pleading the blood of Jesus, of a mother pleading the blood over her children, over her household. So mothers, I want to encourage you. I want to admonish you. Plead the blood of Jesus over your household, over your children every day. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Do it like this. Say, Father, I plead the blood of Jesus over my family today. Name your children. I do it. Dads can do it too. Amen. But plead the blood over your family. Call their name and say, I plead the blood of Jesus over them. I apply the blood by faith right now with the words of my mouth. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. And so we can do that. Here's another scripture. You might want to write these down. These are scriptures that you can pray over your children to help shape their future. Isaiah 54, verse 13. It says, all your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. And you can turn that into a prayer and say, Heavenly Father, I pray over my children today, and I say that they are taught by you. I pray that your Holy Spirit teaches them and leads them and guides them. And Father, I pray, great shall be the peace of my children. Amen?
Amen.
Isaiah 49, verse 25. Here's another good one. It says, but thus says the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible be delivered. Have any of you, your children, have fallen prey to wrong influences or to any type of bondages or demonic attacks? Well, those terrible demons, our children that have become prey to them, the promise here is they shall be delivered.
Yes.
The prey of the terrible shall be delivered. God says, for I will contend with him who contends with you, and I'll save your children. Oh, praise God. Get a hold of that and just wrap your arms around that. Wrap your faith around that and declare that and stand your ground on that and say, Lord, I thank you that you save my children.
Right.
And don't ever let go of that. Don't ever let go of that. Amen. God says, I'll contend with him who contends with you. Glory to God. Wouldn't it be, what do you think when God steps on the scene? You know, to those demonic forces that are harassing your kids and says, hey, what do you think you're doing? That's what it means when God says, I'll contend with him who contends with you, and I'll save your children. Amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. Luke chapter 2, verse 40. This is talking about Jesus, but it can apply to any of us and with our kids. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Pray that over your children, especially if you have young children. Pray over them. Lord, I pray that my baby is growing up and becoming strong in spirit. Lord, I thank you they're filled with wisdom, and I thank you, Lord, that your grace is upon them. Amen? Amen? Praise God. Just a couple more. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Pray that over your children. Lord, thank you that you have begun a good work in my child, in my children. You'll complete it unto the day of Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians 3:3-4, it says, but the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. Pray that over your kids. Father, I thank you that you're faithful to establish my son. You're faithful to establish my daughter and to guard them from the evil one. And I like this last part. It says, and we have confidence in the Lord concerning you. We have confidence in the Lord concerning you. Amen. Your child might be at a place where you can't have a lot of confidence in them. I just don't know if they're going to make the right choice or do the right thing. No, our confidence is in the Lord. We have confidence in the Lord concerning you. I can't have a lot of confidence in you right now, but I got confidence in God concerning you. Both that you do and will do the things we command you. Lord, I have confidence in you that my son, that my daughter is going to do your will and do what you command, Lord. Hallelujah. And pray that over them. That'll have a tremendous effect. A tremendous effect. Amen. I said I was closing, and I am. Like the little, you know, the little boy went to church with his friend, and his friend's daddy was the preacher, and this little boy had never been to church, and this is not what I'm closing with, but I'm saying something humorous. And so his daddy, you know, his daddy took off his watch, and he says, what does that mean? He says, well, he's looking at his watch, means he's, you know, going to be wrapping up the sermon here soon. And then his dad said, well, I'm going to close with this. And he said, his friend said, well, what does that mean? He said, it means absolutely nothing. But I am closing. All right. Let's go back to 1820. In 1820, there was a man named Peter Richley. And in 1820, Peter Richley was a grateful man. He had survived one of the strangest and most harrowing events known to mankind. The ship which he had been traveling on, he was in the sea, in the ocean, off of the coast of Australia. The ship which he had been traveling on sank. He was rescued. By some strange twist of circumstance, however, this ship sank. This is a true story, by the way. He was rescued again, but the third ship sank likewise. He was rescued for a third time, yet his fourth ship of passage soon sank. And unbelievably, he was rescued for a fourth time, but the fifth ship sank as well. It would have been laughable had it not been so serious. On the high seas, however, he floated with a serene confidence that somehow God did not want him to die. And sure enough, as if on cue, another ship came by and answered his call for help. This ocean liner, the City of Leeds, was named after its British city of origin. It was bound from England to Australia and traveled the same sea lane as Peter Richley's downed ships. The crew of the City of Leeds hoisted Peter aboard. Dry clothing was provided to Peter. The ship's doctor gave him a cursory exam, pronounced him fit, and then asked him an unusual favor. "There's a lady on board who booked passage to Australia," the doctor explained. "She's looking for her son who disappeared years ago. She's dying, and she's asked to see her son. She knows everybody on board, and since you're the only newcomer, would you pretend to be her son?" Peter agreed. After all, his life had now been saved for the fifth time. He followed the doctor below deck and entered into a cabin. There on a small bed lay a frail woman with silvered hair. She was obviously suffering from a very high fever. Deliriously, she was crying out, "Please, God, let me see my son before I die. I must see my son." The ship's doctor gently pushed the young man toward the bed. Soon, however, Peter Richley began sobbing. For lying there on that bed was the reason that he couldn't seem to die. Here was the lifeline that had kept him from drowning five times. For lying on that bed was none other than Sarah Richley, who had prayed for 10 years to be reconciled to her son, Peter. The ship's doctor stood in amazement as the young men fell down by the bed and embraced the sick woman. I'm here, Mom. I'm here. It's me. Within days, the fever had subsided, and his mother awakened to find an answered prayer seated on the edge of her bed. Isn't that incredible?
Yes.
Abraham Lincoln said this. He said, I remember my mother's prayers. And Reed, come on back up if you would. I remember my mother's prayers, and they have always followed me. They have clung to me all my life. That was Abraham Lincoln. I remember my mother's prayers, and they have always followed me. They have clung to me all my life. I hope that our children can say that of us, that I remember my mother's prayer, my father's prayer. They've clung to me all my life. I was sitting at Chick-fil-A the other day with my friend Gary. He's been to church here one time, and he's a little bit older than me, and he was raised as Pentecostal, old-time Pentecostal, and there was a lot of good with that, but I wasn't raised that way, but I know from the stories I've heard from Brother Randy and others that there was a lot of tradition and a lot of things that wasn't so good, that kind of turned kids off. And a lot of those kids that grew up that way rebelled against that. And Gary was one of them. And he rebelled for many, many years and went away from God. Well, in recent years, he's really coming back to God now. And I just met him and got to know him really in the last few months. And we were sitting there at Chick-fil-A, and he talked about, he said his mother has passed away, but he realized my mom's prayers. He said, my mom's prayers are, I said they're pulling you back, aren't they? I said, they're drawing you back. And now he has a really, whether he may not acknowledge this or recognize it, but he has a real ministry to young people now. And he does. God's using him in a wonderful way. I'm sure his mother prayed for that many years ago. And as I sat there, I said, yeah, look at this, Gary. I said, your mom prayed me into your life. How about that? And he laughed and he said, it's really true. She did. She did. Let's bow our heads in prayer right now. Thank you, Father.